This is Leo for KTWH on this threatening a little bit of a snow squall night on Tuesday, December 3rd. I have the chance to speak with coordinator, director, just what is your title? Helene Hedlin, working to run the Eulabian Christmas Village extravaganza happening in Knife River, Minnesota this coming Saturday and Sunday. Yeah, just what is the hat that you wear, Helene?
They call me the chair of the event, but I am only one of many, many volunteers that make this festival a success. I refer to myself as a facilitator of information and a decider of nothing.
You could be the person who imposes organization on an otherwise seemingly impossible to organize situation.
That's correct. Also known as herding cats.
Herding cats. Do you know how many cats there are approximately? Has anyone even tried to guess how many people are like ancillary
hundreds.
Volunteers?
This
hundreds.
Event, we start working on this event in February. So there are what I call the long hauler volunteers that are part of the entire planning process. And then as we get closer to the event, there's a group of local men that set up the actual village. They work very hard for at least 2 weeks getting the huts in place, getting everything situated, the trees and garland and the atmosphere of the event in place. And then I refer to the weekend workers as the weekend warriors, that they put in two solid days of selling and taking care of the grounds and taking care of the guests that attend. So there are different levels, but there are hundreds, literally hundreds of volunteers to make this event work.
Wow, that's quite the service.
It's a huge commitment.
Well, Helene, for someone who's been locked in a closet for 11 years, could you give a sense of what Eulabian was envisioned as and what it's become over the last 11 years?
Well, and again, I don't have as much history as some of the local Knife River residents would have, but my understanding is that this is the brainchild of Dr. Ann Skadberg and her husband, Chris, from a visit to Norway and seeing a similar type festival going on with the European culture. She brought the idea back to Knife River, and she and Carol Carlson designed it and started it, and it has continued to grow every year. About 4 or 5 years ago, we added the North Shore Scenic Railroad joined, and with the restoration of the depot in Knife River and Paul von Gert, we have a train that comes up for the event, bringing folks from Duluth, and they come in and they spend a couple of hours, they shop, they eat, they have an opportunity to take what we call the troll train down into the gully, and there are all kinds of mischievous trolls down there that are peeking out around trees and things and entertaining the folks on the train. So it has been an evolution. And I think from my perspective, it continues to change annually and only for the better.
Yeah. So people can come out to the fest from Duluth, and anyone who is in Knife River can also embark on the Troll
Correct.
Canyon
yes. the
tour?
The Troll Train. North Shore brings folks from Duluth, but they leave the train there for those several hours. And then
yes.
rather than just let it sit there, they utilize that train to take folks on this excursion down into the canyon to see the trolls. And then Lisa Lung Larson, in previous years, she has written troll stories, and those stories are read on the train. It really is quite a magical time.
Wow. Well, we're mostly talking to people on community radio in Two Harbors, the people who are going to walk, bike, ride a car close to the site.
The Two Harbors folks will be happy to know is that there is no charge for parking, and there is no entrance fee to attend the festival.
Fabulous. I think I told you I haven't been there in 4 or 5 years. It's been a very popular event and growing. Do you have special off-road parking, or is it just all the many little cul-de-sacs in Knife River that you can park on that you have to choose from? How does it work?
I would say it's a combination. They certainly park along the highway, they park along the streets by the rec council and the church in that central area, but there also any little nook and cranny that's available parking. That's where they park. And people come and go. One of the things that I learned about some of these festivals is that whether or not it's a come-and-stay event or it's a come-and-go event. And we kind of look at Eulabian as a come-and-go event. So people are coming, they stay for a couple of hours, and then they leave. Because it is entirely an outdoor event, so
yes.
it can get chilly. we have different spots that warming can take place. But parking has not seemed to have been an issue. I'm not suggesting that you park within 100 yards, but their parking has not seemed to be an issue.
I only ask because there's no giant farm field that's just ripe to turn into a parking lot. So I thought it has to be a little more creative. And as you said, every time I've gone, there's been a parking space open up rather close to where I wanted to go, and I almost felt guilty taking it. But
yeah,
that's okay.
That's kind of the way it is. And that's the way come and go events occur, is that they come, they shop, they eat, they enjoy some entertainment, and then they leave and somebody takes their parking spot.
So now we've gotten our possible attendees, all those people that we're hoping do show up and spread their presence throughout the day over the 2 days of the weekend. I guess I want to hand it off to you, Helene Hedlund, to just take us through all the different things that you can think of in terms of experiences. We have, of course, this is supposed to be an open-air market, but it is so many other things. Could you kind of just run your tour guide self through what we're going to see there?
Yes, I certainly can. And I would like to start with the primary purpose of Yulbian. It's the fun of a fundraiser is certainly there, but it is a fundraiser. It is the primary fundraiser for the Knife River Recreation Council, and they fund hiking trails and the public beach, the tennis courts and pickleball. There is an outdoor skating rink for kids. There's a sledding hill. The Rec Council plans activities for the youth of the community, as well as Outer Line. It's like the beach and the trails are not just for Knife River residents. They're for anybody that comes and wants to visit the North Shore. We are able to do this because we have a wonderful sponsor in the form of Love and Lakes County, that they help fund the expenses. And what I like best about that particular partnership is that it means all the many hours that our volunteers put in, that the revenue that is generated from Yulbian is used to be able to support the activities as opposed to having to pay for the event. So that has been a wonderful partnership. As far as some of the activities go, there are two primary events that Yulbian itself, that the Knife River Council sponsors. We have the indoor market, and that is housed in the Rec Council building. And that indoor market is stuffed full, if you will, of gift items, all homemade by local residents and surrounding area residents that volunteer their time and make product. Very unique. I call them upscale crafts. It's not just really crafty type crafts, but really wonderful products and opportunities for gift giving. The other big darn deal that we do is the bakery. Likewise, the local residents make all the baked products. They have krumkake demonstrations. There are lefse demonstrations taking place, and that takes place in the large tent, the Gnome Dome tent. And in addition to the bakery being housed there, we have an indoor stage with a variety of entertainment that takes place throughout the day. And then lastly, children crafts are there. And again, I remind you that there are no charges for the activities. There are youth activities, both indoor and in the craft area, for youth to come and spend some time exploring and just having a tremendous amount of fun. Then the last piece of our event is the vendors that come, and they make up what we call the outdoor market. There are 17 different local artisan vendors, upscale jewelers and crafters and potters and woodworkers and jam makers and all kinds of things. But there are 17 huts that house individual artisans that have product for sale as well. Then if you go across the highway to what we refer to as Troll Village, which is where the depot is, that's the Two Harbors Farmers Market. This is the second year that they will be having a tent. They have an additional 15 vendors that are more crafty type vendors and lots of food product and that type of thing. They do a lot of work during the summer as well. So between our artisan vendors and the type of vendors that are in the Two Harbors Farmers Market, there are lots of opportunities for shopping, different, and it suits anybody's taste. Then we also have outdoor food. One of the transitions that Yulbian has made, and some of this has to do with statutory changes and needing food licenses and that type of thing, rather than making our own food, we have 5 different vendors that come to do the food. The Scenic 61 is there, Johnny B's, Led Rock Grill, Larsmont Trading, and Minnesota Marshmallow. So once again, a Scandinavian flavor to their menus, but a very wide variety of types of food that are available for folks that want to get warmed up with something to eat or a cup of hot cocoa.
Great. I was very curious because over the years you did have more homegrown vendors. The long and short of it is it's now professional, more or less caterer type service of food served outside. Okay.
And there are a couple of reasons for that, for that particular transition, is that it takes a lot of volunteers to offer food.
Yes.
And now that the statutes have changed that you have to have that events such as ours have to have food licenses through the county, they're not particularly easy to get for an outdoor event. So all of our food vendors, they work with the county independently of us to get to have their food license. So that's the reason. And then the other thing is, besides the number of volunteers, the reality is our volunteers are all getting older. And we need a new batch of youngsters to come in and to take over. So it's a lot of work to offer food. It was a slow transition, but this is the first year that we will have 5 outside food vendors providing opportunities for our guests.
Great. Are any of the outdoor market vendors selling food products as well, or is that now all over at the farmer's market?
It's not fresh food, but they certainly are selling. They sell, you know, pickles and granola, and we have somebody that sells syrup, and we have the Acres beef, or no, I don't think it's beef. It must be pork product. So there are varieties there, too, but the license requires the fresh food that's being delivered. It has to be temperature controlled and that type of thing.
Indeed. Double checking to see what the gamut of things for sale was these days. You know, one thing you did and didn't mention is that Gnome Dome. I believe there's probably a fair amount of music happening.
There is. We have a wide variety of entertainment. Steve Solakas, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he's
Solkala. Steve Solkala.
Anyway, he will be on site both Saturday and Sunday, and we call him the wandering accordion player, as long as it doesn't get too cold. If it gets too cold, his accordion keys freeze up, and then he has to go into one of the tents. But he'll be there. John Agaki is there with his guitar. The Viking Dancers, the Sterling Dance Group, and the Knife River Ringers will all be there Saturday. And then on Sunday, we have the Two Harbors Ukulele Group. The Thugs will be there from 11:30 to 1:30. And we close out that day's entertainment with a string ensemble from Two Harbors High School. And the story behind them is quite interesting. Last year, the outdoor stage was open towards the end of the day, and these two young guys came and they started entertaining with their violins. And so this year, they're on the agenda to play. So that's going to be kind of fun. And then the last big darn deal that'll take place on Sunday is Knife River Lutheran Church hosts a live nativity. So the story will be told verbally. The joyful choir under the direction of Patty Stoddard will be singing. And what I like, one of the things that I like best about the live nativity is that the players that are part of that nativity are multi-generational. We have grandfathers and their grandchildren that are participating, which makes, I think, our event quite unique, that we have this multi-generational flavor as far as the volunteers and the activities that are taking place. And then, of course, one of the highlights of the live nativity will be the animals that have been invited to attend. We have horses and goats and a miniature cow and sheep and a donkey and a camel. So a wide variety of animals. The live nativity starts at 10:30 on Sunday, and the animals are going to stay for an hour or so afterwards so that our guests, and particularly the youth, can feed them. The owners are bringing some grain and that type of thing for them so they can get a real close view of these animals.
Fantastic. I was present one time when one or the other of the animals became a little bit free rein. I don't know if that ever happens anymore if you've got professional handlers, but it's always an adventure putting together kids and animals and live nativity scenes. It sounds like quite a production and just one of many complicated productions that you pull off during this two-day activity that we call Eulabian. I'm speaking today with Helene Hedlund. Running out of time, Helene, but I'm wanting to leave people with a good sense of, you know, you don't even live in Knife River, right? You are comfortable admitting you're a Clover Valley person like I am, and you're somehow the director of all this wonder. How is it that what's different about Knife River that they can pull this off, where could anybody really do it, but that you just have a certain kind of crazy can-do spirit?
Well, I would say that the can-do spirit is what it's all about. And my understanding is that when this first began, the Knife River Council had no money in their bank account to pay for their insurance, and they were looking for ideas on how to raise funds. It's not an incorporated community, so they have to be creative in how they get funds to pay for some of the things that they want to do. And as I mentioned earlier, this is their primary fundraiser,
right?
So that they can sponsor the events. And it's not just for Knife River residents. My grandkids live in Clover Valley, and they enjoy the Knife River beach and have for the last several years. So it is a Knife River community where the event takes place, but it really is far more encompassing than that. And I think that that's one of the things that Love and Lakes County recognizes as they sponsor it. Is this event is intended not just for Knife River residents, but for the North Shore as well.
Right.
In fact, we have a bus that comes up from Minneapolis. It brings 50 people on Saturday and 50 on Sunday that these folks sign up months in advance to take advantage of this event, just to get dropped off, shop, take in a little entertainment, and then get back on the bus and head home.
Wow. So this is a good chance because you are talking about a kind of a generational transition. I don't know if volunteers are still needed or if they will be needed for 2025. Any way that folks can keep in touch?
Are interested, if they go to our website, eulebyen.org, eulebyen.org, there is a sign up for volunteers, and it will give a lot more detail of the sponsors and of all the different activities and the vendors and that type of thing that will be at the 2024 event.
Fantastic. My thought there being that folks all over the place from Two Harbors on into Duluth and north of the humble unincorporated village of Knife River might all want to be able to join in on the fun. A little bit of work and a lot of fun and a very special spirit about this whole thing. I'm really glad you could share some of this today.
It puts capital F-U-N in the word fundraiser.
That pun's been used here at KTWH before too, Helene, so thank you for punning with me. I appreciate it. Well, is there anything else I didn't ask you about that you want to make sure to get out to the folks who might be thinking of coming?
I don't think so. Just a hearty, hearty thank you to not only to Love and Lakes as a primary sponsor, but all the sponsors that, if you go to the webpage, you'll see the for propane, for garbage collection, for snow removal. There are just so many different aspects of this particular festival that we need help with, and this is a community, Two Harbors included, that supports the fun of having this kind of an outdoor event in the winter. It can kick off the holiday season, and just for future planning, it is always the first full weekend in December. So the 7th and 8th is a little bit later than it usually is just because of how the calendar falls.
Right.
If anybody's interested in attending, it's always the first full weekend of December.
Okay. And the forecast is encouraging right now. It even looks like we might get a little base of snow to make things look festive. So I hope that turns out well. Helene, you did mention before we started the interview that you've become an expert in porta potties.
Yes, being a chair of this type of event, there's a lot to learn. And I think I mentioned to you that I know more about porta potties now than I ever thought I would need to know in my lifetime. And that is because whether it's a come and go event or a come and stay event determines how many porta potties you need. So it has been a learning experience for me. I've enjoyed it. I love working with the volunteers and the sponsors. It's a very fun event. I hope that anybody that has time on the 7th and 8th can come out and enjoy.
Excellent. So yes, there are so many areas, avenues to help in. I'm sure that you were given the porta potty job because people recognize the importance of that, Helene. So way to go.
Well, it's not a job that everybody signs up for, so there you go.
There you go. They leave it to the top woman on the job.
They leave it to the chair.
Yes, indeed.
I call it operations.
Well, it's fun hearing about all the operations that are happening in Knife River on the 7th and 8th of December, the Eulabian event happening for the 11th time. Thanks, Helene, for joining us here in Community Radio KTWH.
Thank you for sharing our event with your listening community.
Absolutely. Okay. Bye now. I'll see you there. Take care.
Okay.
Helene Hedlund is the chair of the Eulabian Christmas Village event happening the Saturday and Sunday, December 7th and 8th. This is Leo for KTWH Two Harbors Community Radio.